Orcutt had the council today, and we have, as our guest Gideon today, Ron Williams from Clinton. And Ron is a member of the Clinton camp of Gideon's. And for years and years, he was a member at Bethany Presbyterian, isn't it? And a deacon and an elder there, and now is working at the Joanna Church of God. But as I told you, Mr. Orcutt called late yesterday afternoon and had to counsel. And I know that Ron had had not a, a long time to prepare. And he said as much this morning. He didn't get the word to come until yesterday afternoon. But I think the first thing, one of the first things I learned at the first Gideon meeting I went to was God does not always choose the most equipped, but he will equip the ones he chooses. So with that said, let's welcome Ron Williams to speak to us today. We appreciate you coming, Ron.
As he said, I didn't have a lot of time to prepare, and some of the scriptures that I was going to use have already been used this morning. And as he repeated, there's one that we always use, and that's Isaiah. And I've learned to trust that, because there have been times when we passed out Bibles at different places. They look like they've got their mind on everything but the Word of God. And as you pass them out, you think, well, you know, what good did it do passing that Bible out here? But then you've just got to do what God tells you to do and trust that it will happen accordingly. Now, I love to talk about God. I love to talk, well, I love to talk, period, but I love to talk about God. And as I was looking, trying to prepare in a hurry about what to speak about this morning, I got to thinking about decisions that we make and how everything in life is one decision or another. You can think back and think about decisions that you've made in your life, which school to go to, which college to go to, who to marry, who not to marry, who to date, who not to date, which team to pull for in the Final Four, which just went by, and I hope you did better than I did, but nonetheless, we make decisions. Well, throughout the Bible, we find that decisions were made. Genesis 6, Abraham and Genesis 6, Noah made a decision to obey God's word and build the ark in spite of what people were doing. They were making fun of him, and he worked and worked and worked. No rain came. He kept working. No rain came. Finally, God said, get on. It's time. So he got on the ark. Still people outside laughing at him, calling him an old heretic and everything else. Well, he got on. The rain came. Go on down, Genesis 13, Lot. And Abram at that time had left land of pretty much plenty because God told him to get out from there and go somewhere. Well, their servants started fighting, so Abram decided that it was time to separate. So he gave Lot the choice of where he wanted to go. Lot picked out. He looked out across the land. He saw a land with plenty there. He chose it. He took it. He went on. We go on to the New Testament, and we find in Mark and in Luke, Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he told them just before he went up to pray. He said, pray lest that you enter into temptation. Well, he came back. They were asleep. He woke them up. He told them again, said, pray. And he came back. They were asleep. He let them alone. And then we find right after that, Peter denied God. He cursed him three times, not counting the fact he cut the soldier's ear off, and, you know, temptation had manifested itself. Now, as we reach decisions in our life, we have to decide upon a lot of things. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. We face decisions that we have to sometimes encounter on, for instance, life support, whether we take it off or don't take it off. We face decisions upon whether we put our parents or our grandparents or someone that we love in a nursing home or not put them in a nursing home. We face decisions upon whether to keep them at home. One of the greatest decisions that we'll ever face, in fact, it's the greatest decision, as to whether or not we will accept God's calling upon our life. Now, that gets to an interesting point because, as several people talked about, Gideons are not ministers. They are not paid individuals. They are individuals that accepted a calling upon their life, and I do believe it's a calling, to distribute God's word, Now, we distribute God's word in many places. We go into hospitals, hotels, jails. We stand at colleges and distribute God's word on usually freshman orientation, but sometimes we do it at other times. We distribute God's word at graduations. Just about anywhere that a door will open, we will go and distribute God's word. And I love to read some of the testimonies and some of the letters that we get concerning God's word and how they received it. And if you'll bear with me, I'll read a couple of, well, I'll read several of them actually. And normally I would have memorized these, but I guess I didn't do what, like Paul said, to be instant in season and out. But for instance, here's one from Director of Merritt Learning Center in Dayton, Ohio. Many thanks for the lovely donation of the Bibles. The children were thrilled to receive them. We read from them that same day, and we had some Bible drills. The children were bursting with joy to have their own personal copy of the New Testament. Many of the children said they could not wait to get home to read their Bibles before going to bed. Now, that's in America, and we are grateful to be in the United States and be able to read God's word. But here's one. Let's see. Well, I'll read one more from here. In December 1973, I was an 18-year-old student at Cerritos College in Norwalk, California. Sitting near the snack bar one rainy afternoon, I was fretting over upcoming final exams. The last thing on my mind was the small testament given to me that day by Gideon. But out of respect for the book, I held on to it. To make a long story short, I came to the Lord in 1980, started teaching the Word of God in 1985, and became a pastor. The seed scattered by that quiet Gideon has borne good fruit and will last forever. Thank you. Praise God. And may He continue to prosper you. Here's one from a jail. I was sent to jail, and apparently he was guilty of something because he said, and my lawyer told me the least amount of time I would get was 7 to 14 years because of my record. A couple of weeks later, I was given a New Testament by Gideon, and after I read it, I gave my will and my life over to Jesus Christ. I knew something inside of me was different, and my life changed immediately. I knew that God loved me, and He wouldn't give me something I couldn't handle. When I went to court, I was sentenced to only 2 years. No one in the courtroom could believe it. I was told that God works in mysterious ways. I am getting out soon, and I wanted to take the opportunity to thank you for giving out these little miracles. I hope my story will encourage someone to read the Word of God. Now, as I look at that, I go back and I think about different times that we've passed at Bibles, different stories I've heard. I can read on about different testimonies. One about a middle-aged man who, when the economy sunk, and if you're like me and most other people, you lost something in the stock market when the stock market sunk. Well, this man lost everything, and he was at wit's end. He was about to lose his home. He didn't know how to tell his wife. He was very fretful. He checked into a motel, carried his gun with him. He sat there on the side of the bed feeling sorry for himself. He pulled his gun out, tried to shoot it, and it wouldn't go off. He tried it again, it wouldn't go off. He got mad, threw the gun across the room, hit the nightstand there, and the drawer came open. And when it came open, there was a Bible inside of it that Gideon had placed there, and the Word of God was open to the plan of salvation. The man read the Bible, began to weep, because it said that God loved him, that Jesus loved him. He didn't have to have money. He didn't have to have wealth or fame. He didn't have to have anything. He couldn't buy it. He just had to be willing to accept Jesus. And he gave his heart and soul to the Lord that day. And a few minutes later, somehow his wife knocked at the door and said, I've been looking for you everywhere. Said, I was worried when I heard. And she told him, she said, I am your wife, not someone here just for the short ride. I'll be with you from now on. And I don't know much else about it except they didn't, lose each other. This is one that I really like a lot. The head of a military base in Russia would not allow a distribution, but finally the local Gideons were able to convince him to allow them to come. He told them they could distribute the New Testament as long as they did not say anything else about God to the soldiers. Thankfully, during the distribution, one of the soldiers asked what it meant to repent. A Gideon explained to him what it meant, and he said he wanted to do this. He also asked his friend if any of them wanted to join him, and half of the men stood up and repented that day. As the Gideons were leaving, the commanding officer thanked him and thanked them for what they did and promised that they could come back. When I read that, I was reminded about 12 years ago, we were part of the Christmas House International, and they had asked me if we would take a young lady for Christmas. It was a foreign student that could not go home because she lived in Thailand, and the time period was too short. Well, we readily accepted. Found out that she fit right into our family. She was about between my oldest daughter and youngest daughter's age. And then about 3 days before we were to pick them up, and it's Christmas time, they said, but you can't mention Jesus to her. I thought, uh-oh. Here it is Christmas. I'm going to read the Christmas story. How in the world am I going to get around this? And I decided that I would just go on about normal. I wouldn't necessarily tell her, but she would be part of the Christmas morning, so we would read to her the story. A few days after she got there, we joined in together with several other churches, and these different foreign students prepared a meal for us. And we ate the meal and had fellowship and came home that night. We had been warned, now they're going to ask to call home. Don't let them use your phone, because most of them don't have the money to pay for long distance calls. Well, Lamai asked, said, I have a strange feeling my dad in trouble. Can I call him? Well, a decision I had to make. Do I let her call him or do I not? And as I sat there for a moment, I said, go ahead and call him, Mai. I said, call him. She called, she hung up the phone and started crying. She said, my daddy, 86 years old, he fall today. Live in very rural part of country. My brother say he hurt real bad. And it's about 10 o'clock on Sunday night. I said, Mai, can I call our prayer chain? She said, what that? And I explained to her that we had people in our church that were available around the clock to pray. She said, which God do you pray to? I said, well, we only have one. And I stopped. I said, I'm not supposed to be saying this to her. I said, well, I've got to tell her I've gone this far. I said, we only have one God we pray to. And we believe that the Father, God, had one Son, and then the Holy Spirit, and they were three in one. Three in one, I know, understand. But please pray for my daddy. So I called several people, and the next morning, we got up, and I waited till about noon because I did not know the time change. I said, call your dad again. She called her brother. She said, Dad, much better. She come back to me after that. She said, tell me about this one God. We have millions. And I thought, what an opportunity. But do I break the rules? And, well, needless to say, I started telling her. And after we got through, she said, I want to learn more about this. So we were, the church or the group of churches that we had, we had already decided we were giving them Bibles in their language to study. And she was from Texas, or she was going to school at the University of Texas, Arlington. And I have a brother that lives right close to there. And I called him. I said, Frank, I said, would you line up somebody there that will talk with, and her name was Lamai Tubsang. And she said, don't try to pronounce it, just say Mai. I said, would you find someone that will talk to Mai when she comes back? And so we lined up a little church that was close by, a Southern Baptist church. And they talked with her, invited her to a Bible study. She joined the Bible study. She called me back about a month and a half later, and she was almost shouting on the phone. She said, Juan, I accepted one God is my Savior. He's my Savior now. He's my Savior. She said, what do you do now? I have your God. And I explained to her then, you know, that we could all have the same God, you know, and on. And so just through witnessing there and telling about one God, and that wasn't exactly a Gideon, but it was a Gideon Bible that we gave her in her language. And I was reminded of one other, and I probably told this one here before, but it's one that I really love to tell. Some years ago, on a blitz to Africa, the Gideons were assigned certain areas to go to. And I found it interesting because, well, my wife gave me notice in a hurry that that couldn't have been a man that went there because they wouldn't stop and ask for directions. But these Gideons were given a Volkswagen. They were given a certain number of Bibles, and they were told where to go to. Well, the map they were given was sort of topical. It had trees on it. It had creeks. And it said, after you go past so many creeks, so in this kind of tree, says you turn and follow this path down, and when you come to this tree, you'll turn to the left and you go down so far, and you'll come to a group of rocks, and they look like, and they put down what it looked like and everything. So these Gideons followed it explicitly, got to everywhere they were supposed to give out their Bibles. Getting late, now they have to come back to the hotel, and they can't reverse that map. They don't have any earthly idea how to start back. They're in the jungle in Africa at night, and to be honest with you, they were getting scared. So they started driving, trying to use a little flashlight to follow the flashlight to get back to the hotel where they went to, where they were assigned to stay. Well, they found lights on at a place. They stopped and asked for directions. The guy tells them again, go past so many trees, go past this creek, follow the creek down. So they go and end up right back to the same place again. The guy said, I told you, go such and such. Well, they're getting frustrated. Now they're getting scared. They're frustrated. He tells them again. So this time they go down so far. They see a pretty good-sized building with lights on. They turn in. They're going to ask for directions. Woman comes out shouting, we thank you. Thank you. You came. You came. We prayed that you would come. And one looks at the other and says, you find out where we're at while I see if I can find a better map to get us back. So as he's looking through the Volkswagen, now, I don't know how many of you remember the little doodle bugs from years ago, but there wasn't a lot of space to hide anything in there. Well, he finds 35 Bibles in that Volkswagen. He thinks, well, did I give out everything I was supposed to give out? And as he thinks about it, he said, I did. Said, wonder where these came from. The other Gideon comes out, scratching his head. He said, you're not going to believe this. But he said, we're at a leper colony. And they need 35 Bibles to give to the lepers. They carry those Bibles in, not knowing how in the world they got those Bibles or anything. It wasn't on their trip. They gave the Bibles out and drove straight back to their hotel. That, to me, is a miracle. Because, as my wife said, it had to be a miracle if men stopped and asked for directions. But the thing that was a miracle to me is they had given out every Bible that they had been assigned to give out. And they were only given that many. They weren't given any extra. And yet there were 35 Bibles there to distribute to others. And those people were praying for that miracle that the Bibles would come to them. As they were leaving, they were discussing it. And every one of the Gideons had some kind of story, very similar. Not necessarily about lepers, but all of them had had an encounter giving out the Word of God. A few years ago, several years ago now, actually, a good friend of mine who is now deceased and gone, Dub Baldwin, Uncle Dub as I called him, had the pleasure of going to Russia to distribute God's Word. And he was standing there distributing God's Word, and as he was distributing the Word, he noticed that people were grabbing the Bibles as quickly as he could hand them out, and they were tearing the pages out. He got very disturbed at this and tried to figure out, what is this about? So he finally asked the interpreter to ask him. He said, well, we're not supposed to have Bibles, so we're taking the pages, each one of us, going to memorize that page, and then we're going to pass that page along to someone else. When we meet, we will talk about the Word of God from memory, not from the Bible, in case someone comes in and tries to take the Word of God from us. I am reminded now of the situation that we're in the United States today, that rulings are coming down left and right prohibiting certain types of speech about the Bible. In some places, you can't even talk about the Bible anymore.
something, if you have a donation that you'd like to make to the Gideons, to place it on your file. And what we normally do
is Don will make one check, and we'll mail him a check next week for the total amount that's received today. William Adair is a member of the Gideon camp in Lawrence, and he is going to close our service with prayer.
Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the opportunity to hear your word preached today and the report from the Gideon. We are thankful for this organization and what it does to distribute your word throughout the world. Be with us now as we depart, and bring us back to the next appointed hour. In his name we pray. Amen.